Online at krvs.org.
Hello and welcome to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today we are joined by two distinguished people who are going to talk about issues for children and low-income families in Louisiana. The first is Sarah Berthelot. She is president and CEO of the Louisiana Association of United Way. She is a longtime citizen of Louisiana. In fact, she went to UL Lafayette, where she was the first woman president of the Student Government Association, something that we were talking about just a moment ago. She got a bachelor's here in communication and has been working in the nonprofit sector pretty much ever since. Mm-hmm. We're also joined by Ms. Melanie Bronfen, who is the executive director of the Louisiana Policy Institute for Children. She was born in New Orleans, went to Ben Franklin before going to Yale University and getting a bachelor's in history, and then on back to Tulane for a Juris Doctorate in law. And she is, as I said, currently executive director of the Louisiana Policy Institute for Children, a nonpartisan, nonprofit source of data, research, and information. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
There's a new ALICE report released. For people who don't know, what is ALICE? What does it measure? What does it mean? What should we be thinking, Sarah?
Well, ALICE is an acronym. It stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. This is the third report of its kind for our state. And what it tells us, it basically is a measure of how many households in our state are able to afford the basics of survival, the most essential needs. And the way that we do that is we use public data and resources to quantify a basic survival budget for every parish of Louisiana. And we also produce a state average. ALICE are the households of our state, the workers that work every day, but are unable to earn enough to achieve this basic budget. So ALICE are the workers that earn above the federal poverty level, but below this basic survival budget.
So when most people think about poverty, they think immediately about the federal poverty line, which established, last time I looked at it, it was around $24,000 for a family of four, something like that. Varies a little bit state to state. But this is a different measure. So you say, well, that's kind of an antiquated thing for – so you're talking about people who have jobs, they're employed, but they're not really making what we would consider to be a reasonable amount of money to survive. So, and that's how many, what percentage of Louisianans fall into that category?
Well, based on our measure, we have a 19% of Louisiana families who live in the poverty level, but the ALICE earners equate to 29%. And so this basic survival budget is composed of expenses including housing, childcare, food, transportation, health care, a very small amount for miscellaneous, and taxes. So, for example, an individual needs to earn a wage annually of $19,548 to afford these basics. And if they don't, they're making choices between these essential needs. A family of four needs to earn $53,988. And contrasting that with the federal poverty level, federal poverty level for the same family type is less than half at $24,300. And so that's essentially how we come up with our statistics on ALICE.
That's interesting. So the federal poverty wage is less than half of the $53,000 for a family of four, and that includes, of course, child care, transportation, housing, everything else. And an extraordinarily high number of Louisiana residents are below that.
That's
line
correct.
Right now, what kind of impact does this level of need have on people's families and lives?
Well, the bottom line is when you can't afford these basics, then you choose between important items like quality child care and medicine, shelter, rent, or food. And these hard choices are made every day. they cannot escape these hard choices. And it also means that families have no safety net for a rainy day, for an unexpected crisis or illness. And so an unexpected crisis can create larger problems for these families. And so essentially, 48% of our households in Louisiana face these challenges, and 45% of all households with children in the home are ALICE. And so this report illuminates the sobering facts about the economic vulnerability of our state and the families that work and make up our economy. And again, like you just referenced, ALICE are workers that work hard every day.
So people typically think of those who are down below the poverty line or who are in the ALICE area as not working. Oh, well, if they just get out and get a job. But these are people that have jobs, but the jobs just don't pay that much. I saw recently that something like 70% of the jobs in Louisiana pay under $20 an hour. That being the case, that means that most people, if you make under $20 an hour and you extrapolate that out, you're in an ALICE situation. So the only reason we don't have a larger proportion of people with that are in the ALICE thing is because they maybe have cobbled together two people, maybe one at minimum wage, one at twice minimum wage, and that gets you above the ALICE threshold, but not very much. So it's really – there's a problem with not enough money for the kind of work they're doing.
That's correct. And you're spot on. 66% of jobs in our state pay less than $20 an hour. And our economy is composed largely of lower-paying jobs. The most common job in our state is the cashier. There's more than 70,000 cashiers, and the average wage for the cashier at this point is less than the hourly wage one needs to break through this basic survival budget of $9.77 per hour.
And I'm also thinking this $53,988, if you're a single mother with three children who's working as a school teacher, state average is below that for school teachers. So you could be a school teacher and having to make those decisions about your kids and your child care.
That's right. And you know, anyone can be in a position of ALICE if there's a major life change. And we hear on the news every morning, every night about the federal shutdown and the impact it's having on families right now. And so we have families that have never faced this kind of vulnerability that find themselves there now. And so having an awareness and understanding that it is the reality that so many face is what our report is hoping to just illuminate through research-based facts.
One of the things that you've been doing, and Melanie, I want to get over and talk to you just a second, but one of the things that you've been doing with the ALICE report is you've been convening opinion leaders around the state to bring attention to this. And is that part of what you do as a CEO, president of the United Ways, as you say, try to get people to realize that there's some contours to this problem that need to be dealt with?
Yes. We've been convening a series of community events throughout the state with this particular report release. But of course, for example, during session time, we use this report to equip legislators so that they may use this data to navigate the complex decisions that may impact families. This report has played a role in helping legislators understand the importance of working tax credits that are needed by these families, child care tax credits, the earned income tax credit. And we appreciate any partner, nonprofit, or any form of government referencing this data in their decision-making process.
So you would welcome people using this data to make decisions based on this or seeking. Have you had some people reach out to you and want to use this data to think about how they're treating their employees or what people need?
Absolutely, we have. And for example, we had one employer that came forth and said, you know, I looked at the data and I realized that I'm paying a wage that is requiring some of my employees to work alternative jobs and face not able to navigate unexpected crisis, not able to afford care. And it's caused me to rethink what I want to do with my company. And so we have had those come forth, and we invite anyone to use the data. We have had over 4,000 people access the report online with significant reading time. And so we want to continue to promote the use of the report.
I think these are the people that aren't really seen in America, you know, because I think the people who are the opinion makers, who are the legislators, who are the people, the doctors, the lawyers, the Indian chiefs, they're not in this group, you know, and it's hard for them to see this group, I think. And so we tend to think, oh, well, everyone's doing okay. Sure, it's tight for everybody, but we're not perhaps making those kind of decisions. I want to move over to Melanie and talk about the impact of this specifically on children. What does the Alice Report mean for children's well-being in Louisiana?
Well, it's very illuminating. One thing I just wanted to add, I don't think was said, was that the Alice Report goes down to the parish level. So it's got great data. I'm a data wonk myself, so I so appreciate it. But I'm not sure that we mentioned that, which could be very helpful to especially local officials or business people or whoever, that it's both at the state level and down at the parish level for each of these indices.
And I did check the Lafayette data, and Lafayette's slightly better off than the average Louisiana parish. Mm-hmm. Not much, mm-hmm. but a little mm-hmm. bit. Mm-hmm. But there's some parishes where it's really bad, like I'm thinking up in Lake Providence area that West Tensaw or
Northeast.
Yeah, 75% of people. Yeah,
yes.
Terrible.
East Carroll.
It is really
East
stunning.
East Carroll, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is
Go
really
ahead.
Stunning.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and I'm sorry because I'm not answering your question, but I just thought that was an important point to make. So thank you for that opportunity. In terms of what the Alice Report highlights, and we are grateful that they do look at this indice, is the child care piece. And as Sarah referenced that has substantially increased over the last few years, that cost. And that's a national problem, but it really hits – it's so apparent when you're looking at the Alice families especially. And I think something that we were discussing earlier that is easy to forget is for someone like me who's about to turn 60, how the world has changed in just a generation. And so – what's a stunning statistic to me is that 2 out of every 3 children birth through age 5 in Louisiana, so 2/3 of our children, young children, have both parents or their single parent working outside the home. And so that is just such a change. When I was growing up, it was the rare mom, frankly, who was working. And even when I was raising my own children, so many parents, mothers, were home with their children. But today, that is not the case. And often, as Alice shows, parents don't have a choice. It's not what they want to be doing. It's not that they don't necessarily want to stay home with their children. It's that they don't have a choice to just live. And in fact, another indice is 45% of the children in Louisiana are being raised in single-parent households. So they basically have to work. They have to have that parent working to be able to afford to live. And so then you get to the question of, well, where are those children while the parents are working? And obviously the parents have to access some form of care outside the home or outside themselves. If they're lucky, they may have family members. But in most cases, they're trying to access some form of child care. And so the other thing that is apparent in this report, and as our data shows as well, is that child care actually costs in Louisiana and across the country almost as much as a public college tuition. It is a huge price. We talk about across the state, and of course it's more in urban areas and more in different parts of the state, but overall, child care costs about $7,500 a year. It's more for infants and toddlers, so for children who are, you know, under age 1 or 1, it's even more expensive, and then a little bit less for 3 and 4-year-olds. But across the board, if you look birth to 4, it's about $7,500. Well, you think about a college tuition, but this is hitting a family right out the gate when they've got a young baby and often are at the beginning of their career, so they're not earning as much, and they haven't had 18 years to save, and yet this is the cost of childcare. And so how many families can afford that?
Is that per child, that
$7,500? Yes, it's per child.
That's amazing.
So you have 2 children under the age of 4. It's even more so. And so it's a huge cost. And it's not just our Alice families, of course. It's the middle class. It's everybody.
We're going to take a little break right now. We're talking to Ms. Sarah Berthelot and Melanie Bronfen about Alice Report and about implications of that report for children's well-being. And we'll talk some more when we come back.
Under music director Riccardo Muti, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra continues to be one of the finest orchestras in the world. I'm Lisa Simeone, and I hope you'll join me as we hear the CSO charge into the 21st century with repertoire both new and old, taking listeners behind the scenes and into the music. That's right here with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Coming up Monday night at 9, here on KRVS.
The world feels like it's getting bigger all the time. There are daily developments on major stories around the world and more great music than at any other time. Staying current isn't always easy. But when you listen to KRVS, you hear about people, places, and ideas that matter to you, and you discover great music every day. Your support of KRVS makes that all possible. Please make your contribution today, online or mobile at krvs.org, and thank you.
Hello and welcome back. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. We are at Bayou de Beltway. We're talking today with two advocates for those people in Louisiana who are struggling to make ends meet or to provide child care for their children, Ms. Sarah Berthelot from United Way and Ms. Melanie Bronfen from the Policy Institute for Children. Just as we went to break, we were talking about the difficulty that parents may have in providing child care. We said child care runs about $7,500 per year per child. That's over $600 a month per child. We also said that many jobs in Louisiana do not pay more than $15 an hour, $20 an hour. How do parents do that? So you have a single mother. You said, I think 45% of children are being raised in a home with a single parent. And we're assuming oftentimes that's some mother. And so, but many of the jobs that these mothers have don't pay a lot. So what kind of decisions do they make in terms of their child care? How do they do it?
It is very, very difficult. And our big fear is that, in fact, these children are not in high-quality settings. In fact, they may not even be in safe settings. We're one of the few states in the country that does not even regulate what we call family homes, which are basically small child care centers of seven or fewer children. I don't think parents even realize that there's not even like a fire inspection of these places. I mean, they could be high quality, but the burden is totally on the parent to inspect it and try to assure that they're safe, much less have any sense of quality and quality care. It is a huge challenge to parents. And it's a shame because we now know the science of the brain development. We now know that the first 3 years of life are the most important time of life for brain development. So it's like a house with the foundation of that house being built in the first 3 years. And so everything else in your brain is being built on top of that. So if children don't have strong experiences, high quality experiences their first 3 years, then we are catching them up the rest of their lives. They're starting kindergarten behind. They tend to end up in special ed. They end up in grade retention, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got sort of really a double whammy going on in our state, in our country, which is where parents can't afford quality. We have just about no public funding to help them, in contrast to, say, college. Yet we now know in the last 20 years the science has proven, you know, just overwhelmingly that those 3 years are so critical in human development and brain development. So it really behooves us, it's like an early intervention, to have them have high-quality experiences, which most of them are not.
So let me sketch this out a little bit. So you're a single mother, you have two children, you drop them off at a very low-quality daycare right from the get-go, 6 weeks, 8 weeks after birth.
Right.
These children are not given what they need for the first 2 or 3 years. Then they are behind. When they do start going to school, they're either a problem acting up or they're not the sharpest kids in the class.
Right.
They're not the ones achieving. They go ahead to not be high achievers. They drop out of school. If they're boys, they have a very high incidence of ending up in the criminal grasp of the criminal justice system. And in the end, it costs us a lot of money.
Exactly.
And we have people who are not very high achieving. That being the model for much of what's wrong with Louisiana, why do we hate children in Louisiana?
I don't know.
Why don't we address the situation? Your head and wonder about that?
It's all about the money and also about our priorities. You know, everyone says there's no money. Well, I'm a big believer there's money when we choose to find money. You know, it's about what priorities we set. And in my mind, the ultimate policy document for a state is its budget. That's where we say what we think is important. And we are spending less than one half of 1% of our state general funds on early care and education. And so, you know, we have many policymakers now who I think understand the importance of it. They're starting to say they think it's important, and we're thrilled. But at the end of the day, you don't get to say that, in my mind, unless you put your money where your mouth is. And it's really cool now that the science and the data, as I mentioned, the brain science, in the last 20 years, we've come to understand the brain science so much better that these first 3 years are so important. What's also happening now that is so exciting is all the research around economics. So we have Dr. Heckman, who is a Nobel Prize winning laureate in economics, who has now done this seminal research on return on investment, of investing in these first 3 years. And he says now that there's a 13% return on investment for every public dollar that we put into early childhood because of what I mentioned, this brain development being so powerful at that time. And the fact that if you get something right then, that you don't have to go back and fix it later. And it's so much more expensive to do so. So all this brings us back to childcare and the cost. And I would add that not only is there a huge return on investment in the long term with these children not starting behind and then staying behind, which is what usually happens, but recent research that our own institute has done shows the effect of childcare breakdowns on the workforce of today. So that is the parents.
The parents, but that's also the employer. So what are the effects of childcare breakdown on the parents who are working, but then also on the employers?
Exactly. And we just did this report in the last year. We could not find data on this. We were so surprised that workforce data nationally, even I'm here to tell you, was not collecting on, like, we all know that it affects parents, that they can't get to work or they have poor, because they have childcare that's not reliable, they're late, they're missing work, et cetera. But it's amazing to me that data is not being collected by employers, by, you know, the state, whatever, or across the country. And so we gave up trying to find it and did a report ourselves. And I'm thrilled to say that in just a year and a half since this came out, multiple states now have replicated this report that we did, and even a national organization just came out with the same data. And so there's a lot of interest in this. In the end of the day, what we found, no surprise, but it was stunning, was over 40% of respondents, and these are parents of children birth through age four, reported, and these were not necessarily low income even. I mean, it includes low income certainly, but it was just, we called and said, do you have a child age four or under? Reported missing work in the last 3 months due to childcare breakdowns. That didn't surprise us. What surprised us was we also asked about the workforce participation. So, for example, 1 in 6 respondents reported quitting their jobs due to childcare breakdowns. 1 in 13 said they had been fired due to recurring childcare issues. And in fact, we had an economist put a price tag on all this, and he found that Louisiana employers lose $816 million a year due to childcare breakdowns of their employees, because, you know, you miss work and then you get fired and then there's turnover, et cetera, et cetera. And the economy actually loses $1.1 billion due to childcare issues of our citizens.
Wow, that's amazing. So in some sense, it's just it's a no-brainer, as they'd say. It's the bottom line. You know, companies should be thinking about this. You know, I often wonder, like, you know, and I've had this experience, and no doubt you have too. You have a sick kid, and, you know, my wife or I have to stay home and with the sick kid, right? You don't want to bundle them off to the school and infect everybody else. They're miserable. You're miserable. But for people who don't have jobs that allow that to happen, like if you're an hourly worker at, like we said, cashiers, the most common job, you're not there. You're not making that money, or your child is not being taken care of, or you have to quit, or your boss gets mad and fires you because you've missed too many days because you have a sick child. This seems like a catch-22 in a way.
Exactly.
How do you get legislators and people who are in power positions to kind of realize the trap that this is and educate them about some of the advantages of addressing these issues?
It's a great question. We have been working hard as advocates, as has the United Way, and reports such as the ALICE report help illuminate this. for our policymakers. And like I say, funding child care assistance, which is a program that is a federal program that is administered by the state, is called the Child Care Assistance Program, and it's specifically child care subsidies for low-income working parents or parents who are in school or job training, so they're trying to get to work. And do you know that our state not only has cut the program, but in the last 10 years, they literally have cut that program in half, so that we used to serve almost 40,000 children in that program. Today, we're serving less than 20,000, even as all this data and evidence and even as people. And we are putting no state general funds into slots. All we're spending are the federal funds that we get from that block grant. That is the only state-administered program we have for children under age four. We do a great job with our pre-K programs, and we should be very proud of that for our four-year-olds. But the minute you get under age four, we are basically spending about nothing of our own state general funds on early care and education for children. And as I say, this is a two-generation solution to many, many issues that we face. Poverty, I mean, if parents work, they're going to be for our children to not enter kindergarten behind, and we spend – there's so many good that come out of this. But to date, we have not been able to get our legislators – they've done a great job at understanding it now, starting to be – they've been educated on it. They're starting to say it's important. But we're at the point now where we need to put our money where our mouth is. This year, in this legislative session, we've been pushing hard at Policy Institute for Children, an entire coalition called the Ready Louisiana Coalition of many organizations, including many chambers across the state, as they're coming to understand how this affects employers. And again, we have chambers from all over the state who have signed up on this joint statement imploring our governor and our legislature to fund the child care assistance
program. Do you happen
to
know whether one of Acadiana is one of those?
They have not been so far. They have supported it in the past, but they have not supported this particular – this time what we're asking is a very specific ask, which is any new funding stream that becomes available to be dedicated to early care and education, specifically the child care assistance program. And the one that we're really thinking about, because we think it will take place this year, is sports betting. I will say that in other states where they have dedicated funding streams for early childhood, it tends to be sin taxes, tobacco taxes, the lottery. And in fact, we have those kind of taxes, and we put them towards education, but nothing has ever gone to early childhood. So we say this year it would make sense for us to use any taxes that are added this year, which we see probably will be sports betting if that's passed, should go specifically to early care and education.
Well, that's certainly an enormous need. I think you've described the situation very clearly, and I'm embarrassed for our state that we claim that we're family friendly, but we do so little to actually help the families and the children that need it oftentimes. Is there something that someone – we're just coming down to the end of our program – is there something that someone could do to get involved in these issues or to help move this forward?
Thank you, Dr. Cross. Of course. We welcome all of our listeners to contact their local United Way. United Ways around our state feel very strongly on this issue. And also, Melanie, if you could please describe for business leaders out there how they might be able to enroll in your business roundtable. I think that might be a good thing to mention.
Yes, if they want to go to the Louisiana Early Childhood Business Roundtable site online, and you can enroll and just fill out a form, and we will send you more information.
That's great. We've been talking this morning with Ms. Sarah Berthelot from United Way and Melanie Bronfen from the Policy Institute for Children. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
For a delightful listening experience on Friday afternoons, why not tune in to Freetown Radio at 3? It'll cure what ails you, and it's only on KRVS 88.7 FM, and KRVS.org on the web. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, streaming online at krvs.org.